I'm LaVeda and I'm an addict.
Let's thank Vincent for that good message, hope and recovery. And I too got clean in Tri-County area, so I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous being everywhere I go. The next speaker, I know her for a minute, and I want to introduce her. She's from South Potomac area, and this is Sheila L.
I'm Sheila, and I'm blessed with the gift of recovery. Wow. God is good. Woo. My topic is a new way of life, and that is truly where I am today. Wow. I'm just going to tell my story because that's exactly what this topic is. I used. Wow, y'all look good. Woo. You know, I want to thank CPRC for asking me to come out here and share. And they called my husband first, and then about 2 weeks after they called him back, and he was talking on the phone, and then all of a sudden he gave me the phone, and so Jackie was on the other end of the phone, and she says, "Hi, Sheila." I said, "Hi, how you doing?" And I thought that's, you know, she just calling me to say, "How you doing?" You know, and then she asked me, "Have you ever shared at Ocean City?" I said, "Mm-mm." So she said, "Would you like to share?" She said, "The topic is a new way of life." So when she, you know, when she said the topic, I was like, "Okay, I think I can do that." But I had no idea that she wanted to ask me to share. And what I was told when I first got here, if somebody asks you to give back, then you say yes. Even if I don't want to, even if it's a little fear there, I say yes anyway. And so when somebody asks me to share, I'm always, I'll say yes, but the whole time, from the time they ask me all the way up until it's time for me to share, I'm all up in my head. Now I'm sitting here while he was sharing, and so it's a whole bunch of stuff coming up in my head. Okay, how you gonna start? What you gonna talk about? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, God, you know, I need you to calm my spirit. So I used my clean date is November 11, 2003. And I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through treatment. And I was in a relationship. And one day he said, "You need some help." And so we looked in the Yellow Pages and found a treatment facility. And I went in the treatment facility. I'm going to wind it back because I'm going to talk about my use because I need to connect with the newcomers. I started using, I was introduced to marijuana, and I used, it was called reefer when I was using it, back there, and yeah, way back, and so I started smoking reefer, and all I did was laugh and eat. I could get up, I could go to work in the morning, I could come home, I can deal with the kids, I can help with the homework, I can cook dinner, clean the house, you know what I'm saying? I could do all that stuff. And one day I was introduced to crack. And of course I didn't know anything about it, except for what I heard on the radio and on the news. And so I proceed to use, and what I recognized is that I couldn't get enough. I don't care how much I was smoking, I just couldn't get enough. And when I finished, I wanted more, and I just kept wanting more. And so I would use, and then I would stop for periods of time, 6 months, 7 months. And then all of a sudden, I get this urge, and I'm off to the races again. And I was in an abusive relationship with somebody that sold my drug of choice. And so I was always in his package. And it got to the point where when I got angry with him, I would knock locks, you know, take the hammer and knock locks off stuff so I can get in there. And when I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, I ended up getting with a person, and they say what I heard was that get into somebody's pocket, but I didn't know that's what I was doing at the time. And so this person called me on the phone, and she said, "You want to go to a meeting?" And I said, "Yeah." When I got here, I needed a friend. That's what I needed when I first got here. I needed a friend. I needed somebody that I could talk to, because I had so much stuff that was built up. I needed to let it out. And that's exactly what I did when I got here. So when I got here and I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, every meeting I went to, I cried through the meeting, because what I connect with was the pain. It wasn't always the story. It was the pain that I felt. So I could feel the person's spirit. So I cried through the meeting. And what I heard was, you don't ever have to use again, even if you want to. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to stop and stay stopped. And I didn't know how to do that. I want to share this. I want to share this. During the time that I was using, I would, on my errands, when I would go out, I would always go to this one place. And so when I use, I geek. So I did. And I don't remember how it started or how I got started, but I would get in a chair and I would sit there. And so now I'm feeling all over. Or I'm all on the floor, you know. Or I'll get stuck in a chair for days. And I remember hearing somebody in the meeting sharing about being stuck. And it came across my spirit of that situation. So when I go out and I go to the place that I would go to use, I'm there for 4 or 5 days. And so I'm in that same chair from the time that I get there until the fifth day when I make a decision to get up to go home. So I don't go to the bathroom. I don't use the bathroom. I ain't eating nothing. I ain't drinking nothing. I'm not doing any of that. Because I'm stuck. And, I remember when I was a little girl, I remember my grandmother would give me affirmations, and we read this morning because I told somebody I needed to pray before I get here. because I always think that it's fear there inside of me. So if somebody asks me to speak, I'll say yes, I don't want to speak. And it's some fear inside of me, but when you let me loose, I'm gone, you know what I'm saying? And then you have to tell me when to stop, because I forget to look at my watch, you know. But I don't mean no harm, you know, it's just stuff inside of me, and I'm, you know, I so I'm stuck. I can't get up. I can't go to the bathroom. I don't bother nobody because I'm stuck in my spot. I ain't going nowhere. Got my coat, my purse right there with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm stuck. And then when I run out, I have to wait until 12 midnight when the bank allow me to get some more money. So then I go to the bank and then I repeat the same thing over and over. The fifth day, I'm tired. And so I'll get up and then I'll go home. And then I'll sleep about 5 days, you know. when I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, it was through treatment, and I was in a treatment facility. And when I got there to the first treatment, because I've been to a few of them, when I got to the first treatment facility, I cried every day because my thinking was, I'm around these people. I ain't never seen them before. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in a space where it's foreign to me. So every night I cried for about 2 weeks. And I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous there. When I got out of treatment, I started going to meetings. And like I said, the first thing I heard was somebody say, you don't ever have to use again, even if you want to. And my antennas went up. Because when I got here at Narcotics Anonymous, I already know that I had a problem. I just didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know that I had a disease of addiction. I just thought something. Well, it was. I was getting ready to say, I just thought something was mental was going on. It was something mental, but I didn't know it was that. I just wanted to get back to where I was before I started using, and I didn't know how to get there. But what I did is I kept coming back. And I came around in about 2000, and I was still involved in the abusive relationship. And see, when I got here, I thought everything was my problem. I didn't blame stuff on other people. I thought everything was my problem because I was supposed to be able to do what I was supposed to do. So everything was my problem. I'm in an abusive relationship. We fighting. And I think, you know, because I can't stop using, maybe just one time if he hit me and killed me, then I don't have to worry about this. Because I had the courage to commit suicide. I didn't have the courage to do that until I was in treatment and one of the counselors said to me, what you think you was doing when you was using? I was committing suicide. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I started meeting people. I'm still in this abusive relationship, so I go to meetings, and when the meetings is over, I'm gone. Because it was going to be some trouble in the city if I ain't come straight home. And I don't like confusion, so when I left, the meeting was over, I'm gone. But what I ended up doing was getting into this meeting, the women's rap, early on, and it was ladies there that they helped me. I remember one lady told me, she says, she said, you know how when you have a baby and they first trying to take their step and you stand them in the floor and you back up and you hold your arms out and you say, come on, I got you. She said, that's what God is saying to you, and you refuse to take that step. People had to say things like that to jog me so that I can recognize what was going on, because I couldn't see me. We would go to meetings, and it seemed like every time we would go to a meeting, it was an anniversary, and the anniversary, it was food then, because I like to eat, because I ain't eat when I was using, so, you know, now I ain't using, so I'm eating then, right? So every time we get to it's an anniversary, and I see the food over there, and I go sit down, and I was told early on that I need to sit in the front. And I, for me, still now, I have to sit in the front because people will start a subgroup, and I can't hear what's going on, so I need to stay focused on the speaker. What they're saying, not who they are, because I need to be able to connect to whatever they're saying so I can stay centered. What I've learned how to do is, which I knew when I was younger, how to pray. But I've learned how to pray. So we would go to anniversaries, and when I get to the anniversary, and after the anniversary is over, you know, you got food and you get in line. So I be trying, you know, while I'm sitting at the anniversary, I'm looking around trying to see which way I'm gonna go when the meeting is over so I can be close to the food, right? So I get in line, and I got my little plate, and I'm waiting, and I walk around the table, and they start putting the food, you know, on my plate and everything, and I want a little bit of everything, you know. And so then I'm looking for aluminum foil. Then I get my little cup, you know, I wrap my plate up. And so I run over to my sponsor, and I'm looking at her, and I say, I'm ready. And she just look at me, and she says, fellowship. And I'm like a kid. You know when you got kids, right, and they done something, and so now you trying to chastise them, and they standing looking at you. And that's exactly what I was doing. I got a cup in one hand, a plate in the other hand. I'm just looking at her, you know. And it registered what she was saying. But I know if I don't get home, it's going to be some trouble in the city. You know. So I need you to come on so you can take me home. You know. I've heard things like you can say no. So when I heard that, everything somebody said, I said no, no, no. Even if I needed to say yeah, I said no because I needed to practice that. You know. They say stand for something or fall for anything. Wow. Today I stand. Today I stand. Make a decision. Decision implies action. So any time that I make a decision, it has to be some action to come behind that decision. Make a decision to do whatever it is that I'm going to do. When I stopped using, because I was back and forth. Oh, she said that too. She said back and forth. Because I couldn't stop. Because I was continue to be in this abusive relationship. So every time that I would get a little bit of time, a few months, I go back and use. Because in that relationship, I told you they were selling my drug of choice. So everything that came with that was in the relationship. And so I don't share well. I grew up in a household. It was three boys and one girl, and I was the baby, and the baby boy was 6 years older than me. So I was pretty much spoiled, got whatever I wanted. I wasn't a hard-headed child because I grew up with a praying grandmother, and she solely believed in Jesus. And so she walks around the house, and she praying. I'm sitting on the floor in front of the TV, you know, looking at Dark Shadows. And my mother was very overprotective of me, so I couldn't do a lot of stuff. And I didn't grow up being hard-headed, or if she told me to do something, I wouldn't do it. You know, I grew up being obedient. And somehow I got off track. So, wow, God is good. And so I'm in this abusive relationship, and so I'm back and forth, you know, using. But I come to the meeting because they say keep coming back, and I come to the meeting, I raise my hand, and I'm crying, and I say I used. And then I go back and use, and I come back to the meeting, and I raise my hand, and I say I used. And I go back and I use, and I come back to the meeting and I cry and I say I use. But what I learned how to do was keep coming back no matter what. And what I recognized that all of those times that I kept coming back, I received those little, yeah. And what I recognized is that I had never received the 1 year. So that last time I made a decision that I won't get up again to receive a keychain until I got that year. And I kept coming back and I kept coming back. And I got that 1 year. And my first anniversary, wow, it was so many people out there. And so I'm sitting up front, right, and I look back there. I was like, wow, do all them people know me? But what I recognize is that when I keep coming back, people see me. And it was so many people that supported me. I remember going to treatment, the last one. Remember going to treatment, and I was there for 28 days. And I remember coming home. And I wouldn't go to meetings when I got home. And one day I was laying across the bed, and it was just something in my spirit. And I remember saying, God, I don't want to be here no more. You know, because I had been in this abusive relationship. And all the times that I would go to treatment, I'd go right back to that abusive relationship. Somebody said to me, they setting you up. They were selling my drug of choice. So that was a way of keeping control over me. So I got up that Friday and I put my clothes on and I went to the women's meeting that I always go to on Friday from the time that I started coming to Narcotics Anonymous. And this, my sponsor came in the meeting and none of them had seen me in a while. They knew I was going to treatment, but they didn't know I was home. I ain't called nobody when I got back. And I had been home for 4 months and I hadn't been to a meeting. So I sit in the front just like I always do. And so she come in and she was chairing the meeting and she was like, wow, she gave me a hug and everything. And then she say, we on the third step. I love that step. And I said, okay. And I'm just smiling and grinning and I sit to the front and then she get behind the table and then she called me up to lead the meeting. And mind you, I hadn't shared in 4 months. I had a lot to talk about. Even I didn't know that I had a lot to talk about. And what I spoke about is that I was in this relationship and I didn't want to be there no more, but I didn't know where to go. And I remember the Saturday we were going to meet and I remember her sharing with me and she said to me, you need to talk about where you are. You need to let somebody know that you don't have nowhere to go. And so me, when I'm in a meeting, I always wait till the last minute, you know, meeting almost over, before I raise my hand and share. I've been doing it since I've been here, and I still do it. And so now it's at the end of the meeting, and so I can feel the spirit in me pushing me to raise my hand, but of course I don't want to, and all of a sudden my hand go up. And so I started crying, and I started sharing about being in an abusive relationship, and I don't want to be there no more. And before I could finish sharing, it was women coming up giving me cards about transitional and Oxford House. And I made a decision to go to an Oxford House. And so what ended up happening was that my sponsor came because I went to the Oxford House and did the orientation and all of that and was accepted in and paid the little money and everything. So now I got to figure out how to get out of the house that I was in so it won't be no trouble in the city. and so what I had to do, because I kept going back to that relationship, I kept leaving and I kept going back, but every time I left, I had to sneak out when they were out, you know, and be gone before they come back in, you know. And so what they did was she came, she got me, and we stuffing stuff in the car because I ain't leaving nothing, you know. I ain't talking about furniture or anything like that. But all my clothes going with me, you know. So what we end up doing is taking the stuff, and we went over to one of the girls' house that's in NA that own apartment buildings, and we put stuff in there, and then we went back to the apartment and got the rest of my stuff. And I went to the Oxford House, and then but 27 days I went back to the relationship. Mm. And but what experience that I got from that is God letting me know that I had somewhere to go. Mm. And I don't have to keep sitting in a situation and thinking I don't have nowhere to go, because there's always some way for you to go. Mm-hmm. You know, wow, she said 2 minutes. I've been talking that long. What I've learned in here, I'm going to share this real quick. I had 6 months clean, and I was staying in the Oxford House, and I moved out of the Oxford House and got my apartment. And so what I did before I moved into the apartment, I went to stay with my mom until they got the apartment together. It was supposed to be for 9 days, and when I went over her house that Saturday, she died Sunday morning in my arms. And what I recognized with that situation was that I didn't use. That right there let me know that God was working. And it gave me the courage to continue on this journey. And so now, for the newcomer, that I know that no matter what decision I make, good, bad, or indifference, God got my back. And that's what keeps me coming. Because I'm not going to always make good decisions. It's always going to be trouble in the city. But I don't have to use because of it. What I need to do is stay connected to the source, no matter what. So I have to continue to pray, continue to ask Him to stand in for me, no matter what it is that I do, what it is that I think, what it is that I think I see, that He has my back. No matter what go on, I know He got me. That's the reason why I'm standing here today. If my grandmother never taught me anything, what she did teach me was there is a God. And all I have to do is just call His name. Whew. Wow. I want to thank CPRC again for allowing me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. Thanks for letting me share.